141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Neil Lennon admits Celtic could look for a new striker come January. Rangers keep their penalty plans under wraps ahead of the trip to Ross County. And Derek McInnes feels pressure on him has been ramped up this season. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Roger Hanna.
You can't get any more exciting than this for Gordon DL. A full championship card tonight, a full premiership card tomorrow night. And he's just telling his off here he's heading home for the bake-off final.
Yeah, looking forward to everything, Gordon. Football's been terrific at the weekend. Good card tonight in the championships, Roger rightly says. And then tomorrow night, a lot of good games. Rangers up at Ross County, Celtic at home against St Mirren, and beloved Motherwell, the Steelmen at home against Livy.
Come on.
That's Saturday, I'm going. Anyway, hold on, can we rewind?
Moving
please?
Swiftly on. A couple of ways for you to get in touch tonight: 01419511025 on the phones. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. So get in touch, get your calls in nice and early as we look ahead to another busy week in Scottish football. The thing is, Roger, it's Tuesday night, so you've still got thoughts from the weekend lingering. And then before long, we turn our attentions to tomorrow as well. What did you make of the weekend? How's the picture looking for a lot of the teams?
Well, Celtic set the bar extremely highly in that first 45 minutes of Pittodrie. They just blew Aberdeen away. Aberdeen were extremely poor, particularly defensively. Unsurprisingly, Aberdeen fans turning on their players and Derek McInnes. But don't let that obscure the quality of Celtic's performance. That then turned it over to Rangers at 3 o'clock, and against the Motherwell side, it was Rangers Motherwell were playing last weekend as against a tough Motherwell side. They had to fight and scrap, but they got the win, and they're still levelling points with Celtic at the top. So now we go to a midweek card. On paper, it looks as if Celtic have the easier game home against St Mirren. But I saw St Mirren at the weekend. Defensively, they're well set up. I think the fourth best defensive record in the Premiership. So Celtic might not find it easy. Rangers certainly won't find it easy. Dingwall on a Wednesday night against the Ross County team who came from two down at Hibs at the weekend. So it's fantastic. There's a real title race on, be it a weekend, be it a midweek. It's just fantastic, just what everyone wants.
Yeah, two big games. Sort of disagree with Roger a little bit, not being disrespectful to St Mirren. I think after watching Celtic the weekend, if they play anywhere near that sort of a form, then they'll blow St Mirren away. Of that, there's no doubt, especially at Celtic Park. It's always, everybody says it's always difficult going up to Dingwall, Ross County. The one thing I always liked about it is the pitch is very good, Gordon. It's a good pitch to play on. And I think that, after Rangers against Motherwell at the weekend, Steven Gerrard will be demanding a big performance, and I think Rangers will have too much as well. It's just how many goals both teams scored, because the one thing we know is they can bang in the goals.
And if Haggis Pies as well does, you always like them at Dingwall?
Yeah, well, I've never been to Dingwall for years and I don't want to go.
That's not very nice. No, very hospitable club, lovely people, nice scenic drive.
I am not saying that, God, it's just too far away from me.
Spoiled rotten is the phrase that comes to mind, Roger. Two ways for you to get in touch tonight: on the phones 01419511025 or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Get the calls in nice and early. Let us know what is on your mind, particularly to kick us off, you Celtic fans, because Neil Lennon says they'll possibly need to bring in another striking option in January. As it stands, Odson Edwards, their only really fit forward. He says it's great to have Tom Rogic back, although he's still having issues with his knee after games.
Possibly. At the minute, Bale took a knock yesterday, so he's a major doubt for tomorrow. So yeah, we're a little bit short there with really the only one currently at the minute is Edward. He's fully fit. So Bale's going for a scan today, and we'll see. We're hoping he should be okay for the weekend. Tom's got a little bit of inflammation again around the knee. And I thought as the game grew, it went on, particularly in the second half, I thought he was outstanding. Really pleased for him. He's worked hard. That's another 90 minutes in his legs and in his body, and he really will get the benefit of that. Just at the minute, he's having a few sort of issues with the knee, more or less, 24, 48 hours after a game, which is totally natural. So, if we can keep him fit and the way he's playing at the minute, he's a real asset for us, no question. Christopher Julian's fine. He had a little bit of a bug, but He's trained this morning. In Cham, he's back in training. So obviously Christie comes back into contention as well.
So Neil Lennon says Celtic will possibly have to look into bringing a new striker in January. Celtic fans, what do you make of that? Do you agree? Do you think that's something that will have to be looked at? Or can you continue with what you've got at the moment? You tell us right now. 01419511025. Roger, it's getting to that time of the year when you can kind of ask those questions and they become relevant. But it's also, I think, the first time Neil Lennon's said as much that, yeah, that possibly is an area they'll have to strengthen.
I think without doubt Celtic will sign a striker in January, whether it's a permanent deal, whether it's a loan deal for the rest of the season, Gordon. They cannot go on like this with just Odds and Edouard. Vakunis of Bio, he's injured, he won't be involved tomorrow night. He's still raw, he's still inexperienced, and I don't think Celtic could hang their hat on him for a title fight. Lee Griffiths is still some way away from a first team return just now. So the good news for Celtic is, if Neil Lennon wanted to pick his first choice 11, they are all fit at the minute. The potential bad news would come if anything happened to Odds and Edward. I can't currently think of another player in the country whose absence would be felt as much by a team as Odds and Edward's at the minute.
Yeah, I think they're short there. There's news going about that Griffiths may be back in full training by Thursday, which would be good news, but it's getting him up to speed, Gordon. With injury to Bio, you're putting a lot of workload on Edouard. Celtic will sign a striker. They'll try and sign, obviously, Neil Lennon saying that. They will sign a striker in January. If anything to happen, I think at home games, and it's only my opinion, I think in home games, I think they could play Scott Sinclair up there. I think he's good enough to score goals. I think his movement's good enough. I think with the possession that Celtic have got, I think just for a few games, I'm not saying that Scott Sinclair's a centre forward, I'm not saying that, but because of the situation they're in, and if anything had to happen, they were left really short, that's the player. Because a lot of people say, can you play Christie up there? No, I don't think you can. I would play Sinclair up
there. This is where the role of Nicky Hammond and guys like that becomes really important, Roger, because Neil Lennon said possibly, because Bio might shrug this problem off and he might go into a run of form, and Lee Griffiths might be back available in 2 weeks time, and then you probably wouldn't sign one.
I think we'll sign a striker
regardless.
Celtic will sign a striker in January regardless of what the situation is.
If the three strikers are fit in January, still think they'll go for a fourth?
I just think what we've seen of Bio, he's looked reasonably impressive. I don't think they think they could hang their hat in Bio, because just because he's so raw and so inexperienced. Celtic fans haven't seen enough of Bio. You know, they've seen him in flashes, but if anything were to happen to Edward, I think Celtic would want someone more experienced in for the run-in, regardless. You know, I know Bio was injured in the last couple of days. Even if Bio had not been injured in the last couple of days, I think we would still be having this conversation.
That's the opinion of Roger Hanna and Gordon DL, but Celtic fans, perhaps more crucially, no offence to the guys, what do you think? Let us know right now. 0141 951 1025. Should Celtic look at signing a new striker in January? Yes or no? And even better, maybe you've got some ideas. Maybe you've done your own scouting work, you've identified some targets, or you can at least tell us what type of player they should look for. I suppose, would it be a different type to what they've already got? Is that the idea? You try and give yourself that variety, and if so, what does that look like?
I don't think so.
No,
not for me. I think that Celtic play middle to front the one way, and people say, well, bring in this big target man. Sometimes when you bring in a target man, you forget about the lovely football that you can play, Gordon. You forget about the players of the quality you've got in the middle of the park that can get on the ball. McGregor's, Christie's, Tom Rogic, Brown can go and pass it there when he wants as well. And you forget about that, and you automatically go for that big target. You look at Hearts, for instance, right? Hearts are a prime example. Because of the personnel they've got, every time I watch Hearts, when they get the ball at the back, bang, it goes forward.
Yeah, but
right
they call it plan B for a reason. You're not going to set out to
do
that.
How many
times does
Celtic need plan B, really? You're probably going to come up against maybe Rangers, right? Apart from that, Celtic will probably take care of most of the other teams. You looked at everybody calling them the third biggest club in Scotland on Sunday. Celtic tore them apart. They didn't need a plan A. They didn't even need a plan A. They just went
What about days like Easter Road though, in Livingston? Is that not potential?
No. I don't think Neil Lennon's that type of manager that will say, right, I'm going to completely change my style. That's why I said Scott Sinclair can do the job that anybody else can do.
Louis and Rob Royston's on the line. Hi, Louis.
Hi, panel. How you doing? All right.
Good, thank you, Louis. What's on your mind?
I'm just obviously talking with listening to the panel and obviously talking about Big Edward, and if Celtic were to lose him, hopefully not, but if they were to lose him, how detrimental it would be to the title push. But I think that Celtic, with the way they are just now, they've got goals all over the park. I don't think it, obviously he's going to be a big loss, he's a top player, but I think the other side of the city as well, with Defoe and Morelos, with the goals they're banging in, I think if they lose one of them, I think it would be more detrimental to them than Edward would be to us, because obviously we've got players there with the squad we've got to fill in with the goals coming through all angles. I don't seem that you're getting odd occasional goal coming through occasional angles for the Rangers side of things, but for the Celtic side of things, I mean, there on Sunday, Edward scored the first one, and then we've got three other different goal scorers, and I think that's been a play throughout the course of the season. It was just a thing that the panel thought.
The only thing I disagree with that is I totally understand you're saying, well, we've got goals coming from different areas of the pitch. Yes, you have. But Edward, and I spoke about it at the weekend, I watched him, you know, from the beginning of the season. His link up play is a lot better, Gordon. And he brings everybody into play. He makes the movements. He gets the ball up. He dictates where Celtic go and play the game. Now, that's when you get the runners and you get the movement, and that's why Celtic creates so many chances and score our goals. So as much as you're right in saying, well, El Yunusi can chip in, Forrest can chip in, McGregor can chip in, there's a lot of Celtic players can chip in with goals, but your centre forward is the main point of it, and Edward is massive in that.
100% correct, Daz. And that's why, you know, I heard the talk on the show on Saturday when I was down at Kilmarnock for Super Scoreboard. People were debating the big target man, the Cosgrove, the Ekpeazu, people like that. There's nothing the matter with those players and the teams they're in. That type of player wouldn't suit the Celtic system. I tend to think when a striker comes in January, think who's looking for the striker, Nicky Hammond. I think you'll end up with a striker on loan, similar to the way Forster and El Yunusi came up from Southampton. Guys in the Premiership who maybe aren't getting a game, but it won't be a 6'5" target man. It'll be someone who can link the play. So if anything were to happen to Edward, or Edward was in need of a rest at any time, you just put in a like-for-like replacement who can link the play as well. Now, I know he scored the first goal, but the way he scored the first goal, you know, he comes and takes a throw-in from Frimpong. He then links in with Forrest, and all of this has happened 30 yards from goal. Quick, boom, 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 he's in the box, he scores a goal. So it's not a case of they're looking for somebody, you know, necessarily just to get on the end of crosses. It's the way he comes deep, he can do things like that, and he can let people like Christie and Forrest and El Yunusi and others go in behind him as well.
What do you make of that, Louis? Is that not potentially part of the problem, that Odson Edward enables these guys to score goals? So if you take him away, actually the goals throughout the team maybe wouldn't be as free-flowing.
I don't think it'd be as free flowing. Don't get me wrong, it'd be a massive, massive loss, because I think we can agree that as a top player, as it stands now, and he's going to go into probably bigger and better things in the future. But I just think that the Celtic's overall play, their possession wise, I think that there's goals in the team. I just think there's other goals in the team that we've proved in the past, and Big Eddie's not been involved in build ups and things like that. And I think, as I say, it would be a big loss, no doubt about it. But as Neil Lennon has said, he's looking for another striker in January. So obviously he sees the need to do it. And then obviously if we get another, hopefully, top striker in January, then it bolsters. But as I say, I think the other side of the set, I think it would be more detrimental for them to lose one of the two they've got, rather than if, as I say, hopefully not, that the Big Edward doesn't.
Just purely from a numbers perspective, Louis, elaborate on that point a bit, because both teams play with one main striker. At the moment, it seems like Celtic have only got one option, and it seems like Rangers have got two. So how would it be more detrimental to them?
Well, obviously, if they lost one and only play with one striker, they've only got one to play with.
Yeah, but that's one more than Celtic in this makeup competition that you've come up with.
Their goals obviously their goals with half. because they're losing one.
Lou, the only thing I would say, and the fact is, just now, with numbers, Rangers are stronger in that position than Celtic, because Gordon's right, what he's trying to say. They've got two strikers, Rangers, just now, that are fit and scoring goals. Celtic have got one striker that's fit just now and scoring goals. So Rangers in that position are better in the centre forward area.
Thanks to Louis and Rob Royston. Let's go straight on and get the thoughts of John in the East End. You've been doing some scouting, John. Who should Celtic sign in January?
Hi Gordon. Hi Gordon. Hi Roger.
Hi John.
There's been obviously a few things on sort of social media last few weeks and stuff. I know Roger touched on it there about that EP through the boy for Hearts. I've also heard rumours of like James McLean as well, potentially maybe going to Celtic. I know he's maybe not necessarily an out-and-out striker, but he's also a goal scorer. But the thing about I liked about that Ipiazu is, okay, he's good in the air and stuff like that, but he's also good with the ball at his feet, which is one of the things that Edward has. He's good in the air and he's good with the ball at his feet. Now, not playing the two of them together, but I think he'd be a good person that you could have to throw into the team if, God forbid, it didn't happen to Edward.
Gordon Dealey, He's clearly a handful. We talk about him a lot because of the type of job that he does, but is Ikpiatsu really at a level where he could go and help Celtic?
No chance. Not for me. Not in a million years.
No?
I'm not being disrespectful. He's a Hearts player just now. The way he goes about his business. Yeah, when you watch him on TV, Gordon, against like the Celtic Rangers, he puts himself about. He's the only striker I know that never plays within the width of the 18-yard box. He plays out in the wide areas. He chases everything. He does a terrific job for a team, you've got to say. Works as hard as anybody. Not a goal scorer. I don't think he could fit into Celtic's way of playing football.
100%. 100%
that's
correct.
Twice you two have agreed tonight. We're going to have to shake this up, I'm afraid.
I don't think Ikpiazu would do it. I'm not actually sure. You know, always in the past, we always tend to look at, they should sign somebody from Hearts, Hibs, Aberdeen, Killie, Motherwell, whatever. I actually don't think there's a player in Scotland at the minute who would, you know, improve the striking department at Celtic. You mentioned Sinclair. Sinclair's a better bet than anyone else in Scotland.
Cosgrove?
No, Sinclair's better than Cosgrove. Sinclair's considerably.
As a number nine?
Yeah. Yeah, I would take Sinclair all day long ahead of Cosgrove as a number nine.
Come on then, John, fight your case. The guys are not having it.
I know. What I was trying to say there was that, yes, Gordon's right. He maybe does throw his hell about and it does spend most of the time out with the box and stuff. But the way Hearts set up are completely different to the way, obviously, Celtic set up. Celtic have got a lot more attacking options that can get the ball to him to be a more potent striker, because he doesn't date, he's basically having to date all himself at Hearts. You know what I mean?
My big problem is, I know what you're talking about, right? We'll have a plan B. We can have a big striker up there and we can change the style of football. Let's get it up to him early doors and then feed off the second ball. I think your full midfield players, Ryan Christie's of this world, McGregor's, Forrest, all these, but I think they would just turn around and say, hold on a minute, we haven't played in their career at Celtic like that. So why would they go into that situation? No, it won't happen. They will get like for like, someone that can get in and play the way the system allows them to play.
John, they're still not having it. That doesn't mean we don't thank you for your call. 01419511025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Now, if you remember, James Tavernier missed a penalty at the weekend. Stephen Gerrard said he would consider taking him off penalty duties. Well, Gary McAllister was in front of the press today. He was asked who would take a penalty if they got one against Ross County tomorrow, and you can hear his answer next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hanna here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Two ways for you to get in touch on the phones, of course, and on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Kano has been on. He says these Celtic fans that think Ikpiazu is good enough for Celtic need to take a long hard look at themselves. Quite simple, straight to the point. Jamesy's looking in the similar market though. He says Lyndon Dykes would be great for Celtic. Power pace, still only 24, cheap to buy, ideal, he says Jamesy. And Neil Wishart's got another suggestion. I told you the Scottish market was popular. Who's next on the
Cosgrove?
Nope, the other one. Lauren Shankland, says Neil Wishart. Ike Piazza's a non-starter, plays in a team that doesn't play football. Hearts hitting hope, not what we need. Celtic should get Lauren Shankland. Apart from Edouard Morelos Defoe, he's the best striker out there. Okay, I'll leave that there. I thought you would maybe say something in response.
Well, I'll say no to that there, yeah.
Right, that was short and sweet. We'll maybe get back to that one. It's 01419511025. Rangers fans, an ideal time for you to get in touch, because Rangers assistant Gary McAllister says James Tavernier should turn criticism into motivation. Boss Steven Gerrard's already told the fans to lay off the captain after he missed a penalty in Sunday's win against Motherwell, but McAllister is backing him to win the fans over.
We know the guy's strength of character. I've got to say, from the minute we arrived here, you know, he's been particularly outstanding. Very robust. I'm going to touch wood here. He's hardly missed a training session. He's been available for nearly every game. And that's something, you know, that you've got to be able to produce that when you wear the armband, you know, somebody that's reliable. You know, that he's come in for a wee bits of criticism, but he can cope. It's part and parcel. It goes with the territory. You can use the criticism as a wee bit of an incentive to maybe show people. You know, he's working extremely hard, but if you can show that you know, to your teammates and your fans that you're grafting for the jersey, he'll soon win them back. And I'm sure he's won them back already.
If there's a penalty to be taken tomorrow night,
I will not be telling Ross County who's taking our penalties, I'm afraid.
There we go. Maybe we wouldn't expect him to come out and give a name. I'll put you two on the spot. If Rangers get a penalty tomorrow, who takes it? It might still be James Tavernier.
Depends who's on the pitch. Because I was quite surprised he took it on Sunday. I thought Defoe might have taken it.
Okay, if he's on it, if he's on the pitch, which presumably will be.
If Defoe's on the pitch,
so you think there's no way he takes it?
I would be surprised if Tavernier took another penalty. I think Tavernier, to quote his manager at the weekend, is in the firing line. So for me, having missed three penalties already this season, you take Tavernier out the firing line. I'm sure he's not the only player at Rangers who can take a penalty. You know, I would imagine Defoe's taken a few through his career. Morelos, the way he strikes a ball, could be a candidate for it. Stephen Davis could be a candidate for it. The way Barisic takes free kicks, could he not be a candidate for it as well? So there's no need to persevere with Tavernier taking the penalties.
Pick one, Gordon, even if it's a guess. Who takes a penalty if Rangers get it tomorrow? Who takes
me,
it?
Me personally, I
no, you're not taking it.
I think that centre forwards probably are the better at penalty kicks, but it's down to confidence, Gordon. See, when you go through in a goalkeeper and it's instinct and you just hit it and you know whether you get round or chip it over him, that you don't have time to think of that. When you get a penalty kick, usually you're standing there for a few minutes and you're looking the goalkeepers, you know, you're looking and thinking which side you're going to go, to hit it down the middle, blah blah blah. I just think with the natural instinct that centre forwards have got now. If Rangers get a penalty tomorrow night and I was in the dugout as a manager and Tavernier stepped up to take it, it wouldn't really bother me.
Yeah, but whoever's in the dugout will decide, presumably.
I think they'll have a chat with him just to say, look, you know, is it better that you come off the penalty kicks? I think if Defoe's on the pitch, he takes it. I think if Morelos is on the pitch. But I think Roger came out with a great shout there. I think Barisic has got a fantastic left foot. It's just who's confident from the spot.
Gary McAllister won't mind as long as they don't spot Yuri Geller in Dingwall tomorrow night.
Am I missing something there?
I don't think Gordon's memory goes back that far. He can't even remember what he had for his breakfast.
Yuri Geller
moved
the ball on the penalty spot in Euro 96.
Oh yeah,
Gary McAllister's penalty saved David Seaman.
What
were you up to in the summer of 96, dare we ask?
I think that's one for the ad break.
Absolutely. James is a Rangers fan in Knightswood. What's your suggestion for all this, James?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hi, James.
I was just thinking that if I'm a striker such as Jermaine Defoe or Alfredo Morelos, and I've seen Tav miss quite a few penalties recently, I'd be saying to him, look, I'm taking this. I want to get my goal tally up this season. I want to finish top goal scorer. We're going to get X amount of penalties this season because of the way we play. I'm taking the penalties. I'd have my money on my striker scoring a penalty over my fullback any day. So I reckon if Jermaine Defoe starts or Alfredo Morelos starts, whatever one of them's on should be on the penalties.
See, I agree with that, James, and the fact that you're saying for a centre forward, it's all about goals for me.
Because Morelos' return's already pretty good. And if you added the opportunity from the spot to that,
it's about scoring goals, Gordon. When I played, I didn't care what I did in the football pitch, apart from as long as I scored and got the glory, right? And centre forwards are judged on goals. And you don't see like, say, if a centre forward goes 8 games and been brilliant for 8 games but doesn't score a goal, that doesn't matter how good you've played. People will go, he's not scored for 8 games. I totally agree with you. See, if I was playing centre forward Rangers tomorrow night and there was a penalty kick, I'd be over and taking the ball.
You took them, didn't you? In your career.
Only one saved, which was Theo Snelders at Pittodrie. And I still applaud the guy to this day, how he ever got there. It was a remarkable, Roger.
Was that the year Snelders was player of the year?
But yeah, he won the player of the year, and I think that just swayed it. I think that tipped it over the top for him.
Right, James, so is it as simple as that then? If Defoe is the one who starts tomorrow, he would take the penalties in your eyes, and if it's Morelos who starts, he takes them. Simple as that.
Absolutely. Aye, and don't get me wrong, guys, I'm still a big Tavernier fan. Mm-hmm. I still think he should be captain of the football club. And I know that he's made mistakes, but at the end of the day, there's very few players got their full career and don't make mistakes, especially at a high level. And I think if the fans are going to get on his back and criticise him after every mistake he makes, he's never going to get any better. He's never going to learn from him. So I think what the fans need to do is get behind him, support him, make him feel that he's still captain of his club, and make him feel that he's still wanted at the club. At the end of the day, he's one of us. So
Steven Gerrard said as much at the weekend, James. Do you think that's the type of thing that works? Does that hit home to fans? Because ultimately, you know, they pay their money, they go along, and you get caught up in the emotion of the game. And if you find yourself frustrated at James Tavernier or anyone else for that matter, you might just express it. Do you think that Steven Gerrard saying it on Sunday will have any impact?
Well, I hope so, but then, you know the climate. Football fans are fickle in terms of, one week, he's the best fullback in the league, best fullback in the league, he's brilliant, his delivery's outstanding. And then he'll make a mistake where he'll go in for a tackle and completely miss it, and we'll lose a goal and it'll cost us a game. And then, oh, he's the worst, get rid of him, I want him out of the club, take the captaincy off him. It swings and roundabouts. He's just got to be big enough to be able to take it and move on and kind of put it behind him. And hopefully he does that, because he's been a big player for us recently.
Yeah, I mean, it seems there's kind of three possible outcomes, if you like, Roger. Some are more extreme than the other. Some people want to see him stripped of the captaincy, which is very extreme. Some people want to see him taken out the team. The third one, which is the one we've been discussing, take him off the penalties. Is that the most realistic at this moment in time? That's the only thing we're likely to see.
He won't be stripped of the captaincy, and he won't be taken out the team. He still is influential within the team. He actually won the penalty, if you remember, that he missed at the weekend. And he still contributes on the field,
setting up the goal, of course, the winner.
Yeah, and listen, I repeat myself every Tuesday in this show. Going forward, he is an asset to Rangers. Steven Gerrard's going to stick with him, and he sticks with him in the knowledge that he's not the world's best defender, and he will make mistakes, and those mistakes might lead to goals now and again. But Steven Gerrard clearly feels that going forward as an asset outweighs the liability he can be at the back, so he'll stay in the team. I would have him off the penalties now. I think it's reached the stage that someone else should be taking responsibility from the spot.
Alan McGregor and Brandon Barker are doubts for tomorrow night's trip to Ross County. They picked up knocks against Motherwell. Assistant boss McAllister says it's just about finding that right balance when picking the team for tomorrow.
We have got a very strong squad, but I'd also like to go over the fact that we don't want to make too much change. You know, we're very much aware we've got players who probably need minutes, players who maybe need to be taken out, but we don't want to make too much change, you know, because that can work against you. We started a wee bit slow against Hearts. We definitely did that. I thought against Motherwell, I didn't see that, although we went a goal behind, you know. But I would say by the end of the game, I thought we deserved to get 3 points against Motherwell. But I think we've got to give Motherwell a wee bit of credit. They came and were pretty offensive. They showed a bit of bravery by playing two forwards. Very few teams do that. So maybe the game against Motherwell and parts of it were due to the fact that Motherwell made it difficult.
Alan McGregor would be the obvious main concern, Roger, such as the high esteem in which the Rangers fans hold him. That said, a trip to Ross County wouldn't be the end of the world if Wes Fotheringham had to play, would it?
No, I think Alan McGregor is a better goalkeeper than West Fotheringham. So it would be a setback were McGregor not fit for the game tomorrow night. He seemed to pick up a knock. I'm not sure. He fell awkwardly actually when Motherwell scored their goal. I'm not sure whether that was the same incident in which he picked up the injury. They'll take him at Dingwall. They'll give him every chance to play. We'll probably not know until this time tomorrow night whether he is going to play or not.
Yeah, I think it's one of these games, Gordon, that if he's in any doubt, you just sit him out, because I think Rangers will have too much tomorrow. And I watched Ross County at Celtic Park, and I know it's Celtic Park, and I've got to say Celtic tore them apart. They come back, they had a good fight back against Hibs, but Hibs really should have beat them at the weekend. Rangers are going up there after a disappointing sort of performance that comes from Steven Gerrard, and you know, the supporters saying it wasn't the usual, especially at home. Everybody thought it'd be a comfortable win against Motherwell. And I think there'll be a reaction. So I don't think McGregor will be a big miss tomorrow night if he's not fit enough.
Well, speaking of that game on Sunday, Alec is a Motherwell fan on the line. How are you, Alec?
I'm fine, Gordon, thanks. I'm absolutely fine. Well, after Sunday, listening to that dribble with some of the guys, like Hugh, Alec and Mark Wilson, 10-3, 5-3, the three guys predicted that Rangers would pump Mullow 4-5 nothing. That I don't understand. Gordon, for once, you actually spoke sense.
Wait, Gordon, are you talking about Gordon Duncan or me?
Gordon, come on, you're a Mullow man.
Yeah, exactly. And I know where you live, Gordon, so just behave. No, I don't really.
Gordon, I've had you in my taxi. I don't know how you behave.
Oh, dear. All right, now keep it quiet.
Uh-huh. I'll phone you later. I'd like to see who he's with.
Oh, you don't want to know.
And you say Alec will be true.
Gordon, you're the only one really that says that Rangers were going to give Mullow were going to give Rangers a run for their money. Now, Mullow were sitting fourth in the league, the third or fourth best team at this point. And I just don't understand how few Alec Ray and Mark Wilson predicted it was going to be 4-5 nothing. Does that mean that every team that's going to come to Ibrox, they three guys think they're going to get pumped 4-5 nothing?
The problem is, Alec, it has kind of looked that way. I mean, Aberdeen went there and lost 5, didn't they? And I think that's where it comes from. Rather than being disrespectful or anything to Motherwell, they're just looking, and of course they were wrong, that's fine, that's why they put their neck out before the game. But Rangers and Celtic at home have battered pretty much everyone so far. I think that's where it comes from.
Well, who have they battered really at home? It's the teams and the war half, isn't it? Well, with the exception of maybe Aberdeen.
Aberdeen and Hamilton.
Yeah. Well, Rangers play Ross County tomorrow night. It's away. Would you, Alec, I know they're not there to answer that, but do they think Rangers are going to put 5 by then?
No, but again, Roger, the narrative is so far this season, and it might be wrong, and that's the thing, it might change, but so far there's been a real difference between the home and the away games involving Celtic and Rangers.
Well, I did say, Gordon, that after watching Rangers and Celtic both at home, then I think it'd be very difficult for anybody apart from each other to beat each other at their own ground. You've got to say, I thought, looking at the game, Motherwell, as Gary McAllister rightly said, two attackers, not many teams go and do that, well organised. I was disappointed in the fact of they lost a goal from, you know, a kick out. It was the possession from Motherwell. Ball gets played in the box 2 or 3 minutes before half time. Ball gets played up the park. I think the goalkeeper, who's been terrific, should do a lot better. Catch it. You know what I mean? Catch that ball. What has happened to the old fashioned, just put your gloves out there and catch it, and it's you getting it 1-0. And then you know that Rangers are going to come at you at the second half. And I will need to ask managers nowadays, because I've said this and I'll keep watching it week in, week out. At set plays, which is a big, big thing in the game now, it turns games. Why do people not put guys on the back post like days gone by? And you just clear the ball. And I'm not just talking about at the weekend. I've watched it week in, week out.
The same at the game I was at on Saturday down at Kilmarnock. Gary Dicker, decent header in the box.
What, Roger? I can't understand that. I would love a coach or a manager to come on and say to me and explain to me why that happens now. I really don't. And obviously Motherwell could have got out there with a terrific point. But I thought that Motherwell, and well done to them, because Steven Gerrard comes out and says, apart from Celtic, Motherwell were the best team that came here because they were well organised, they had a go. And I think, answering Alec, you look at their previous result, they get beat 3-0 at home to Aberdeen. They go to Rangers, who have banged in 10 goals in the last two home games. So I think that you've got to, you know, not really got on to Hugh, and I don't bother with Mark, giving predictions like that. I can understand where they're coming from.
Jim Duffy tipped 3-1, I think. He was pretty close. Alex actually hung up already. He's getting the taxi started. He's on his way to pick you up, so he's gone. But thank you nevertheless, Alex, for the call. It's 01419511025. Perfect time for you to get in touch, because we're going to get some travel, and don't forget, a full championship card tonight as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna are here. We've got a full championship card tonight, a full premiership card tomorrow. The football is coming thick and fast, so get your calls in. Let us know what's on your mind. 01419511025. And if you would rather tweet to us at Clyde SSB. Just to step away from the football slightly, Roger, great hilarity on the show on Sunday when someone pointed out to us that according to Gordon Dale's Wikipedia page, he was once involved in a violent confrontation with Jimmy Shand over a dispute over who was the best accordionist in Fife. Gordon was unaware of it. Someone's clearly been at it on his Wikipedia page. It gave us some good humour. I'm wondering if you had any thoughts, or if you perhaps were the one who wrote it. It just seems like...
No, I certainly didn't write it. I was actually, after the show on Sunday, I had the pleasure of having a couple of drinks with Mr. Keevans on Sunday night, and we were discussing it. And we just couldn't think how Daz could possibly have the time to be an accordionist, because it clashed with his, you remember the time he was the All Motherwell ping pong champion for several years running.
Badminton, sorry, it was.
Badminton, get it right.
Down in Bonkle.
I've got my GBR best still
and
now.
You know, the timings just didn't fit, and
because there's been an update.
Don't doubt if there's a photograph there, it's not me.
According to your Wikipedia page, certainly as of yesterday, last time I checked it, it says whilst manager of Air United, Gordon entered a lamb throwing contest but was narrowly pipped to the title by Lorraine Kelly.
I've met Lorraine, but Lorraine Kelly, not my...
And there's more, if you'd let me finish. After accusations of blood doping and a frank exchange of views... These are getting ridiculous. Lorraine left Gordon with a high-heeled shoe impaled in his left buttock.
I would take that.
You did have a limp in those days. I don't know if you got out to that dugout with Bill Barr at Ayrne, you were kind of limping.
I like Lorraine, I must admit, watch her most mornings, so... No, that'd be great.
Not true either, then, no?
Not that, no. I think it was my right buttock. I think they're getting that wrong.
So really what we have to get to the bottom of is who is editing Gordon Dale's Wikipedia page. I don't have the imagination for that stuff, so it certainly is not me.
How do you find that?
It's not you, Roger. Hugh Keevans, let's be honest,
I don't think you can edit Wikipedia via Nokia.
Absolutely not. So somebody.
So anybody could do that.
Yeah, I mean, they will correct it eventually. Like, some of the stuff will maybe stay up for a while, and then it'll get taken off. But
somebody out there knows
it's definitely
me so
not true.
Well.
No lamb throwing, blood doping.
Was there not a day when someone put up a parody Twitter account of you many years ago?
Oh, that was brilliant. Yeah, that was brilliant.
Okay, we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB talking football as well, by the way. Not lamb throwing or accordion playing or anything along those lines.
Lambs.
Here's one that I didn't expect, and Gordon, I don't think you'll be happy with this, knowing your feelings on the player involved. Chris tweeted to say, sadly, I think it's better we, Celtic, move Rogic on if we get a decent bid in. The guy's made of glass.
Nonsense. No, nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Yeah. You heard Neil Lennon there. I thought that he come back on Sunday, I thought he was brilliant. He's got so much talent, Gordon. Yes, he's had a few injuries, he's not played the amount of games. I just thought that everybody, there were a big question mark watching him on Sunday. I thought he answered that brilliantly. He's very talented. Just now, you've got to say, because of the form Ryan Christie's in, he's probably playing second fiddle to Ryan Christie, which I never thought I would hear myself say. But I still think he's got so much to offer Celtic.
He does. It's a difficult one, though. I said a while ago in this show, when he was injured, he would have a problem getting back in because of Ryan Christie. He also strikes me as a guy who needs to play. I don't think he's a guy you can play off the bench once a month just because, you know, he maybe carries a little bit that others don't carry. So I think he needs regular football. But he's an immense talent. You see the way he played, his involvement in the James Forrest goal at the weekend. he is a fabulous player. I don't think they'll be moving him on anytime soon.
Full championship card tonight. Big games up and down the division. Let's take a call from Scott, who is an Air United fan. Hi, Scott.
Evening, lads. Evening.
Hello.
Lad, I'm just wondering, regarding the recent change in management here, what you think of the appointment of Mark Kerr. But more to the point, Mark McAdoo's assistant, do you know much about him? It's not a guy I know much about. I'm just wondering how you think he'll do it here.
Well, he's a guy that Mark, wherever Mark could get his first job in management, I think he was always going to take Mick McAdoo with him. They had met when Mark was back at Falkirk for his second spell. I think Mick was running the fourth, involved in the running of the Fourth Valley Academy, which of course Falkirk subsequently shut down. He then moved on to St Mirren. Seems very highly rated in youth coaching circles. So a lot of youth coaches see the next step in their professional development, you know, moving on to working with first teams. So Mark's brought him in. I think Mark's going to continue to play. I know he's injured just now. The intention is he'll keep playing at least until January, possibly to the end of the season, and will delegate a lot of responsibilities to Mick when he's playing on the pitch. But I think he'll also lean on Mick as well. I'm told he's, you know, got, I think it's a business degree he's got. He's maybe got a master's degree as well in management. So he's a guy that Mark believes can bring things to the football side of things, but also to the non-football side of things as well, and help him settle into his first managerial job. Big night tonight though, Scott, after the run of results, particularly Dundee at Somerset on Friday night. I think they'll need to go to Capello and get something just to steady the ship.
And who better to ask for their input than legendary Air United manager Gordon Dalziel?
Yeah, I don't know the lad. That's the first
No, Mark Kerr though. What about that appointment?
But, I'm a bit surprised about it, Gordon, because you're looking at Air, and after Ian left to go to Partick Thistle, you had an experienced guy in there, and his results was good, Sandy Stewart. Sandy came in and worked a little bit at Airdrie with myself and Mark, and I was very impressed with him. He knows the game inside out. He's been number two. He's been a manager. Good experience. I thought just to the end of the season, I was very surprised, but they're going in a different direction. They see younger guys now. They think there's, you know, a better pathway, you know, for the youths and everything like that. But yes.
Do you think Mark got appointed because he's maybe at his interview said, look, I will be able to bring in Mark McAdoo with all this experience?
I don't know. You know, I don't know the guy. I can't comment on him. I've never come across him. I've never heard his work. I don't know. Yeah, you can have everything in your locker about, well, he's got management, he's got business, he's got this, he's got that. You've got to go and manage players, and football players are very hard to manage. I wish them all the very, very best. It was a great club for me. And I'll look at the results. But Roger's right, they need to, you know, after the disappointment at Somerset Friday night against Dundee, which is always going to be difficult. Hard game tonight, Capello, but I wish them all the best.
And a bit like the man who stepped into your shoes, Daz, whoever was succeeding Ian McCall had a hard act to follow, because Ian McCall is at Ayr punching above their weight for a couple of seasons. You know, you look at the budgets the clubs in the Championship have got. There was Dundee United last night announcing a loss of £3.7 million. Wage bill up 46%. They are throwing everything at it. Hence they've got Lauren Shankland and Liam Smith from Ayr, etc. Dundee will have a bigger budget. Inverness Cali will have a bigger budget. Partick Thistle will have a bigger budget. Dunfermline will have a bigger budget. So Ian McCall had Ayr punching above their weight. Whoever comes in, obviously it's Mark Kerr with Mick McAdoo, they will be doing well to keep Ayr in the playoff picture.
Come on then, you fans of Championship teams, it's a big night for all of you. So why not get in touch? Let us know what's on your mind. In particular, I'm looking at you Partick Thistle fans, because we had a few on the phone not too happy after the weekend's defeat at home to Arbroath. Up to Dundee United tonight, up at Tannadice. 01419511025. You can look ahead to those games. Let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time, your chance to win a sign ball if you get more questions right than Gordon Dalziel or Roger minus one Hannah. If you fancy it tonight, it's 0141 951 1025. And remember, just for getting through tonight, we're giving you a pair of tickets for you and a pal to attend Chris Boyd's charity sportsman's dinner. It's at the Glasgow Crown Plaza on Friday the 15th of November. So you're a winner before you've even answered a question. It's a no-brainer. Give us a call, the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna is here, Gordon Dalziel alongside him. We are building up to a huge night in the Championship. Every team playing across the Championship tonight and every team playing in the Premiership tomorrow. So there should be no shortage of talking points. Get your calls in on 01419511025. And we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Just after 7 o'clock, you know what that means. It's Beat the Pundit time. The chance for you to win a signed ball if you can answer more questions correctly than Roger Hanna or Gordon Dalziel. Tonight's contestant is Kenny from Rutherglen. How are you tonight, Kenny?
Aye, not bad.
Good stuff, Kenny. You are actually a winner already. You don't even need to get any questions right, but you and a friend are off to Chris Boy's charity sportsman's dinner. It's right here in Glasgow at the Crown Plaza on the 15th of November. Should be a top night. It's going to be hosted by Jim White. Just a special Q&A with Darren Fletcher, James McFadden and Chris Boyd. So you can go along and enjoy yourself on us. Sound good?
That's great, aye, thanks.
Brilliant, good stuff. Promises to be a top night there at the Crown Plaza. But I know what you really came on for was the sign ball. So I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, it's Roger Hanna, who starts on -1. And if it's tails, it's Gordon Dalziel, who starts on 0. Right. And it is tails. It's Gordon against Kenny from Rutherglen. It has been a long time since you played, hasn't it? How long do you think?
He's played about twice a season.
No, it must be 3 weeks or 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe.
I don't know what you want me to do. Well, I tossed the coin, it landed in tails.
I'm quite happy to go.
So there we go. I'm going to give you some Clyde 2 to listen to. Is that okay? He's giving me the thumbs up now. Good stuff, Kenny. Right, you can't hear us. It's just you and I. You've got 30 seconds. You're head to head. The secret is that you can pass, Kenny. So if you don't know, just pass and move on to the next one, okay?
Okay.
Good man. Your time starts now. What structure is on the badge of Stirling Albion?
Pass.
Which one of Rangers' Europa League opponents have just lost their manager?
Feyenoord.
Who are currently third in the Scottish Premiership?
Kilmarnock.
Michael Tidzer and Connor Salmon play for which Scottish club?
St. Mirren.
Where did Celtic sign Chris Sutton from?
Chelsea.
Who did Dick Advocaat manage immediately before joining Rangers?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring Gordon back. Gordon, can you hear us?
Yeah.
I think I heard you singing along there.
It was
disturbing, to be honest. Ready?
Yeah, go.
What structure is on the badge of Stirling Albion?
Castle.
Which one of Rangers' Europa League opponents have just lost their manager?
Feyenoord.
Who are currently third in the Scottish Premiership?
Kilmarnock.
Michael Tidzer and Connor Salmon play for which Scottish club?
Falkirk.
Where did Celtic sign Chris Sutton from?
Blackburn.
Who did Dick Advocaat manage immediately before joining Rangers?
Pass.
Which former Scotland manager's last managerial job was with Apollon Limassol?
McLeish.
Okay. Kenny, what do you make of the competition tonight?
I think I've been beat by one or two.
Do you think so?
I think Gordon's nailed it, aye.
I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure, Kenny, I must admit. Let's go through and we'll find out, shall we? So the first question was, if I can consult my sheet, what structure is on the badge of Stirling Albion? You really had the choice of two, didn't you? You had the castle, or you had the right answer, which was the Wallace Monument. Kenny didn't get it either.
Good.
So it's
nil. Well done, Sean.
Okay. Question two. Which one of Rangers' Europa League opponents lost their manager? Roger Hanna, it was.
Yeah, final.
Final. Jaap Stam has stepped down, a 4-0 loss to Ajax, the final straw. So you both got it. One.
Oh, no.
Who is currently third in the Scottish Premiership? It is Kilmarnock. You both got it.
Oh, I don't like this.
Michael Tidzer and Connor Salmon play for which Scottish club? It is Falkirk, Kenny. So Gordon Dalziel takes the lead. Number five, where did Celtic sign Chris Sutton from? It was
Norwich.
Chelsea. Kenny knew it.
No,
so he pulls level. Who did Dick Advocaat manage immediately before joining Rangers? You both got it wrong.
PSV.
It's PSV Eindhoven. You'll be kicking yourself, Kenny. And the former Scotland manager whose last job was with Apollon Limassol is George Burley.
Another former United manager, does.
I never get that.
Which means
it's a tiebreaker. Do you want the ball signed, Kenny?
Yes.
I'm hopeless.
Kenny, here's the way the tiebreaker works. I'm going to read the question. I'll get Gordon Dalziel to write his answer down, and I will then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Okay.
Very simple question tonight. I don't know if the answer is simple. How many Scotland caps does John McGinn have? Gordon Dale, write your answer down. How many Scotland caps does John McGinn have? Okay, I've got Gordon's answer. Kenny, what's your attempt?
Hurry up, Kenny.
Five.
Oh, catch yourself on.
Kenny's gone five. He's gone for the low option. Gordon Dale's gone 24.
Was that 24 up?
The right answer is 19. Gordon Dale does it in the tiebreaker. Oh, Kenny.
So I win again.
Kenny. Oh, well done, Gordon.
Oh, great game, Kenny.
It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see him winning the tiebreaker, Kenny.
Can I just check for a second? Did you bust into Earl Brown from Hot Chocolate?
I get carried away when I win. I'm so on it. I want to check. Adds me up to about 16 victories a season.
Anyway, Kenny, it was a really good effort. You took him to the tiebreaker. No signed ball, but you are off to Chris Boy's charity dinner on the 15th of November at the Crown Plaza. Anyway, it'll be a top night, so hope you enjoy it.
No, that's great. Thanks very much. And well done, Gordon.
Well done, Kenny. I've got
Do you know, that's disgusting. Kenny's so gracious He's saying, well done. You're singing and celebrating
I was going to give Kenny a bit of a pat on the back there and say, that's probably one of the hardest games I've had.
Is it?
Yeah, but good victory.
Honestly, I can't believe there was a celebratory song at the end of it, Roger. It was horrendous.
Absolutely terrific. Back in the 70s.
I wish I could remember what the song was. The story's a bit redundant without it, but I'll tell you anyway. He took me home on Sunday after the show and he was singing, giving it, you know, really, really going for it, singing to whatever song was on in the radio. And he was, you know, snapping his fingers and tapping the dashboard and he was going for it. And then after about a minute, he turned around to me and he said, "That's not the right song I'm singing, is it?" And it wasn't. He was singing a completely different song. And granted,
it sounded,
and I wish I could remember what it was. It sounded kind of similar, but it wasn't the same song. He was singing something completely different.
Yeah, but he turned around and says to me, "By the way, you're good at that one."
Anyway, please, I'd rather talk about football than Gordon Dale singing or accordion or lamb throwing. So if you want to give us a call, 01419511025. You Partick Thistle fans, what about the ones who are either on the way up or haven't managed to make the journey to Tannadice tonight? Could be a big game. Certainly a response needed after a disappointing game at the weekend. Give us a call. Big night in the Championship. 01419511025. Before that though, Bill is a Celtic fan. He's from Jordan Hill. What's your point tonight, Bill?
Hi there. Hello. We're talking about Celtic and need for maybe a backup striker. I think Celtic should go back to France for another striker. Use the knowledge that Edward and Julian have got about French football. And I think either Bayo or Griffiths should go out on loan in January. And Celtic should maybe bring the young boy, one of the young boys with reserves in, either Afimobi or the young boy Harper.
Certainly follow the logic because it's been a successful market for Celtic. Mm. Is it as simple as that though? Is just continuing to go back there?
No, I think that they will have targets, Gordon. Whether it's France or not, I don't know. If it is, then they'll certainly tap into the knowledge of the French guys. But I'm so glad Bill's come up with that, because I've asked for months or even for years now that when you look at teams like Celtic and Rangers and there's a shortage in a position, it's always they get into the market or we should get and buy this one, get this one in loan. Where is the next talent that's coming through, Gordon? Surely there's somebody at Leonardstown that must be looking to say, do you know what? If anything happens here, I may get an opportunity.
Particularly up front, you mean? Because obviously Celtic have brought a number of academy players through, but I think you're bang on. Who was the last sort of out and out striker that either side managed to break into the first team and have a proper impact?
Yeah, exactly, Gordon. That's what I'm saying. I just think that surely all the hard work is done behind the scenes and the young players that are waiting for the opportunity to get in there and show. I'm not talking about getting in there and playing 20 games towards the end of the season, but there's young players that can get in and probably get away with, especially at Celtic Park and at Ibrox, if anything happens there. They can get away with 2 and 3 games. Of course they can. Because, you know, the excitement, the adrenaline, everything will carry them into that game to say, this is my opportunity.
Do you not think the signing of Frimpong looks a terrific young player at 18? The signings of Frimpong from Man City, the lad O'Connor from Man United, the lad Afolabi that came up from Southampton, do you not think that's indicative that Neil Lennon and the staff there aren't satisfied with what's coming out of the academy at the minute? So they're actually having to bring in from other clubs quality young players to back up the first team?
Yeah, I do, Roger. And I think it's sad that, you know, that obviously you've got to go to teams like Man City and bring in young players. I just think that, I know it's difficult this season because the pressure that's on Celtic Rangers to win the league, it's very difficult to bring in young players and say, listen, I'll throw you into the, you know, into this game, and it's a real pressure game. Every game's a pressure game now. But I just think there are young players out there that, given the opportunity for a couple of games, I'm not saying for the rest of the season, couple of games, I think they would be able to handle it.
I suppose, Roger, if you take a step back, I think over the piece, you would be happy with the return of Forrest and then McGregor and then Tierney. You know, that's not a bad return for an academy, but you're talking about right now in terms of...
I'm talking, listen,
in those positions.
Celtic will be delighted with James Forrest. James Forrest is about to sign a new long-term contract that will probably allow him to see through his entire career as a Celtic player. Callum McGregor, terrific player for Celtic. Kieran Tierney, not only was he a terrific player for Celtic, he made the club £25 million as well. So that is great, but that's gone. That's all gone. We're talking now the next generation of players, and I don't think there's enough. Maybe enough in the 13s, 14s, 15s, 16s, but right now, in terms of guys who are able to step in if a Forrest or a McGregor or an Edward were injured, I don't think they're satisfied that there's enough coming through the academy at that level just now.
What do you think, Bill?
I think, as I mentioned two names there, I might have got them slightly wrong. The young boy from Southampton who came up, Irish lad.
Rafa Labbe.
I've watched him and I've watched the style of play that he's got. He tends to hold the ball up like Edward. He's not easy to take the ball from. Unfortunately, he's been injured for a couple of weeks, but I think he's the type of boy who should be promoted into the first team squad, even if it's for a while, just see what he's got. After all, Frimpong was a bit of a success, and I think the young American boy that they've got is centre forward in the reserves. I think he's another one. He can score with his head and both feet. He's very, very fast, and I think he's the type of person who should be promoted.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bill speaks for pretty much every fan of every club. It would be lovely to see a number nine come out of the academy, score some goals. Yeah, we're seeing we've got a problem at international level because of it as well.
Young Cameron Harper is very much one for the future. He looks very good playing for the youth teams, playing for the college teams, playing for all those teams. But you have to remember the level Celtic are at now. Celtic went and put four goals past Aberdeen in 45 minutes at Pittodrie. 3 days earlier, Celtic beat Lazio. That's the level that Celtic are at the moment. And it's a huge leap from where James Afolabi and Cameron Harper are to where Celtic's first team is, with the Edwards and the Christies and the Forrests. And it's just too much of an ask. Neil Lennon sees these boys every day. John Kennedy and Damien Duff see these boys every day. And the ambition somewhere down the line will be for Cameron Harper to reach that level. But he's a long way off that level at the minute.
I think Gordon's right though, in terms of it being just a problem position across the board, because, you know, we thought maybe there was a time Jack Aitchison could have been that guy. He's on
Jack Aitchison is doing very well.
Jack
Aitchison is doing very well down at Forest Green Rovers.
Rangers have got Zach Rudden out on loan at Plymouth as well.
Yeah, but you know, there was Ryan Hardy, was in the fringes at Rangers for many, many years. Went out and low in the lower leagues, did well, then went out and loan in the Premier League and scored goals for Livingston and looked okay, but still deemed to be a long way away from, you know, the quality of a Morelos or a Defoe. And that's the level that all these young guys need to get to.
Okay, thank you very much to Bill and Jordan Hill for his suggestion. Still loads of time to get your calls in. We're here until 8 o'clock, 01419511025. Some of the fallout from the weekend still rumbling on, and it picks up again tomorrow because we've got big games all across the top flight. Derek McInnes says there's always been pressure being the Aberdeen manager, but believes it's ramped up this season. He's expecting more from his players, and he's looking for that response to start against Hamilton tomorrow.
There's always pressure here. I've been managing here 6.5 years. I know what managing Aberdeen's all about. The hysteria when you lose a game, and it seems to have been a bit more this season, and I get that. But I think we need to go down and concentrate on our performance, concentrate and try to win a game. And it's no certainty we can do that, you know, because We're playing against a team who always have a decent home record, and they've always do enough to stay in the league, and they deserve enormous respect for that. So we've got a tough game in our hands, but you know, we've got to go down there and show the response that we're all looking for. I'm absolutely fine. I just expect more from my players, and if we can go and win, we start to feel better ourselves. If we can get another win on the back of that, then we start to build a bit of momentum. That's the nature of the game. It's nowhere we've not been before. We have lost heavily to the Old Firm in the past. We've always shown a resolve and a response, and I'm not going to get too downbeat. My job is to support my players and try and instill the positives that we've got. You know, we've got a good squad here. We just need to demonstrate it and try and be at our best more often. But certainly, any game you play, we certainly need to be not gifting goals the way we did, and certainly show more aggression.
I think it's an absolutely terrific midweek card, actually. You know, you've got Celtic playing, you've got Rangers playing, pushing for a title. You've got Kilmarnock in third versus Motherwell in fourth. You've then got the teams who you could say are in a little bit of a mini crisis. Aberdeen off the back of losing four to Celtic. Not that long ago, they lost five to Rangers. Derek McInnes desperately needs a result at Hamilton, doesn't he? And then you've got Hibs and you've got Hearts, who are in crisis. Amazingly, they've got cup semi-finals coming up against the Old Firm at the weekend. They can't afford to look to them at the minute. Hibs at home to Livingston. Hibs could be bottom of the Premiership by tomorrow night if they were to lose. And St Johnson, who are bottom, were to beat Hearts at McDermott Park. And you'd probably fancy St Johnson to do that at the minute. You'd think St Johnson would beat Hearts before this Hibs team would beat Livingston. So there's something in every one of those Premiership games tomorrow night, Gordon. You can't ask for any more.
What about Derek McInnes at the moment, Gordon? There was a line on Sunday, I think, which raised a few eyebrows. Where, you know, he was pretty clear and he said that the players owed him a bit more than, you know, sometimes we don't see managers being as sort of open about that in terms of where the blame lies. I'm not saying he's not taking any of the blame, but he made it pretty clear on Sunday that the players owe him and the fans a bit more, is what he said.
Well, they need a result tomorrow night against Hamilton. I know that a lot of people have been on the phone-ins and I've read articles about how poor Aberdeen were at the weekend. I don't look at it that way, Gordon. I give every bit of credit to how good Celtic were. I thought Celtic, from the first whistle, their movement, their passing, everything about them, their quality, was just, everything clicked on that day. And I don't care about how Aberdeen played. They were never going to live with Celtic because Celtic are too good. As when they went to Ibrox and everything clicked for Rangers on that day, Rangers were brilliant against them and scored five because they're far, far better players and a better team. It's up to Derek to get a response out of his players. He's quite right to come out and say, do you know what? I can't stand here and take the blame for every single result. You've got to stand up and put your hand up sometimes as a player and say, yeah, we need to do better. We need to try and get back on track. We're going down to Hamilton. We all know that's going to be a difficult game for them. But I think Aberdeen are now at the situation where they've got to get results because they've really had a poor season so far.
It's difficult to argue with anything you've said. Unless you're an Aberdeen fan, because Aberdeen fans will not take it that they go to Ibrox and lose 5-0. They certainly will not take it that they're 4-0 down at home to Celtic.
And they matter quite a lot in this
yeah,
debate.
And listen, I completely agree with you. Celtic were out of this world for 45 minutes. Rangers are one of their best performances of the season in the 5-0 game. Aberdeen fans don't care about any of that. All they care is that their team has rolled over and had their tummy tickled by both of the Old Firm inside a month. They're not happy with it. They feel their team's too soft. They want their team toughened up. They believe that not only should they be finishing top six, they should be pushing for Europe and pushing for trophies. Maybe that's unrealistic for us sitting here in Glasgow, but up there they believe that to be the case, and they will not take the kind of beatings they've had in the last month.
Billy's on the line, so we're going to speak to him very soon. Don't forget, in the Championship, we've got Alloa against Dundee, Dundee United against Partick Thistle, Dunfermline are both, Morton Air and Queen of the South Inverness tonight. So if you've got any thoughts on those games, now's a good time to get them in. 01419511025. And I can honestly say, one of my favourite full-time teaser questions of the season. Really is one of my favourites. We'll get the question next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL are here. Billy's on the phone. We're going to speak to him in just a second, but let me get tonight's full time teaser read out and give the guys as much time as possible to come up with the answers. I said it before the break and I meant it. This is one of my favourite questions of the season, and I don't even know why. I just think it's great imagination from John, who's sent it, and goodness knows where he starts to research these things. So, can you name 6 sets of players, one of whom has won the English FA Cup and the other has won the Scottish Cup since 95, and they share a surname? I'm definitely going to have to repeat that for you, Gordon Dale.
No, you don't.
Can you name 6 sets of players, one of whom has won the English FA Cup, the other has won the Scottish Cup since 95, and they share a surname?
There's always a clue in here. I think the clue is 95.
Okay.
FA Cup in 95 was won by Everton.
Okay.
So could it be Duncan Ferguson and Barry Ferguson?
Oh, Roger. Yes.
Yes. Honestly, he's relentless with these full-time teasers. Well done. Duncan and Barry Ferguson. So sometimes it helps when you get an example. If you're listening and you think, I don't understand that question, you will now, because you've got the answer. So 6 sets of players, one of whom's won the English FA Cup, the other has won the Scottish Cup since 95, and they share a surname. So if the surname is Ferguson, you've got Duncan, who won the FA Cup, and you've got Barry, who won the Scottish Cup. So that's you. You've got one and of 6. You 5
Wilson.
To go.
Sorry,
Dad? Wilson.
What about them?
But won both.
Who?
I don't know.
No. That's not how this is going to work. You're not just throwing names at me.
But I'm right.
No, you're not. You're not right. Trust me.
Well, no, I'm not.
But I'm not just going to allow you to throw every surname in the English language at me.
You're allowed to have a guess.
No. You need to show you're working in this one. Maybe by the end I'll let you away with that.
Right. Okay.
That's a good starter. Duncan and Barry Ferguson. I'll leave it with you. Let's speak to Billy from Alloa. How are you tonight, Billy?
Not bad, Gordon. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Gordon. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Billy.
First time caller. I've been trying to go on for a long time. Got my chance tonight, so thanks for that.
No pressure, Billy. Make it a good one.
Well, hopefully, it will be. Aye. Listen, I've only got the conversation. I've just got in my work's van. I heard you talk about the Celtic strikers and stuff like that. And immediately, I thought of the, Lee Griffiths, no full fitness, best finisher in Scotland. Everybody said that on the line. And immediately, you think to Warren Shankland. I mean, it was mentioned by a caller earlier on, and I know, Gordon, it was like tumbleweed going across the studio. Mm-hmm. You had an answer there. But I think Shankland's a penalty box finisher, and sometimes I think that's what Celtic need right now, other than Edward, who comes in off the left and supplies Christy coming through. Gordon was quite quick to dismiss him, and I just wonder, when the guys reach the heights of Scotland standard, and I know we're struggling for strikers at Scotland level, I think Shankland is like Griffiths to a certain degree. He's a penalty box scorer, and Celtic would benefit if they're striking like that. What's your opinion on that?
Just in case anyone's wondering why we're having this discussion, we kicked off. Neil Lennon was saying that they possibly will look for a new striker in January. Simple as that. Billy makes a very good case, you'd have to say, for Lauren Shankland. Gordon, why are you not so sure?
I think with the importance of the season, Gordon, in January, bringing in Shankland and then having to, if anything happened, had to put him in. He's never been tested at that level. And I just think it would be too big an ask. I think that Shankland, and Billy's right, in the Championship, box player, comes alive, he can score goals. I'm not denying that. But when you go up a level into the Premiership, which he's never been asked the question at that level, then I think it would be a massive gamble. It could, look, I'm not saying it couldn't work, but I just don't think Celtic will be looking anywhere near going down that road.
Does it not depend on what you're looking for, though, Roger? Billy's suggestion, I don't think, and Billy can correct me if I'm wrong, Billy's not saying Celtic should sign Lauren Shankland to replace Odson Edouard and be their main striker to take them into Europe. But if we're I thought we were talking about Celtic signing a second or third choice striker. Could he not even fulfil that role?
This takes me back to the point the earlier call was making about the kids coming through the academy. Celtic, and this is a good thing for Celtic, Celtic are now at a level where you need outstanding footballers to get into that team. You know, they've lost Moussa Dembele and they've replaced him with Odson Edouard. Moussa Dembele was a £20 million sale. You buy Moussa Dembele tomorrow, you probably need to fork out £60 million to take him from Lyon. That's the level the Celtic centre forwards are at now.
Yeah, no, but that's, I thought the conversation was about just signing another striker just to bolster the options, and a guy who could come
listen,
in.
Listen, Celtic could go and sign 10 strikers in January. You can go and sign all the people that have been mentioned in the show, but none of them, and this is no disrespect to any of the names that have been mentioned, none of them are at the level that Celtic are at. Celtic need to sign a striker. They're not going to get a striker in January that's as good as Edward. So you need to get as close to being as good as Edward as you can. And there is a country mile between any of the strikers that have been mentioned tonight and odds on Edward. So what Celtic will do, in my opinion, is they'll go and try and get a guy from the top level in England that's maybe not playing regularly, the same as Moel Younoussi, the same as Fraser Forster. Mm-hmm. Quality footballers who just couldn't quite get into the team for whatever reason, and they've come and they've been valuable additions to Celtic. That is the type of profile of a player that Celtic will go for. Maybe one in France, maybe one in Germany, maybe one in Spain. I don't think it'll be one from the Scottish Championship. And that's no disrespect to Lawrence Shanklin, who, for Roger, where he is a terrific player.
Roger, can I just say, you know, you can't compare it to Edward. Absolutely no way. I'm not suggesting that at all. But, you know, I'm not going to compare it to the next guy. But look at Henrik Larsson. Maybe knew Henrik Larsson when he arrived at Celtic. He was given good coaching. You look at the staff at Celtic, they've got the youngsters have coached through, etc. And I think if they were bringing Shankland in, who's to say he couldn't be a future striker? Edward didn't hit the heights when he first arrived, and he took his time, he was coached, he was brought into the team. And look at the outballs that they can get into the box for somebody like Shankland to score. I just think there's a wee glint there, maybe if he was given his opportunity. I'm not saying rush him right in there as a main striker, but surely, you know, he's the kind of guy that Celtic needs. He's got that Lee Griffiths vibe about him, I think.
But the problem about that, Billy, I know where you're coming from, and you know, it wouldn't be a bad gamble because the boy scores goals, right? We don't know if he can score them at the highest level. But the problem you've got is, come January, you bring him in as your so-called second striker, right, Edward? Something happens, and all of a sudden you've got to depend on this guy now. So you've not got the chance to say, right, okay, we're just going to, you know, bed him in and we'll bring him on and we'll do this. All of a sudden, he's your main striker. And I totally agree with Roger. I don't think Celtic will go anywhere near down that road.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Henrik Larsson had played in World Cups, Roger, before he arrived at Celtic. So it's a little bit different, maybe a big bit different. But I thought everyone who's worked with Lawrence Shanklin, Gordon, always talks about how he's a chance taker and he'll thrive in teams that create chances. Does that not seem like Celtic? Does that not seem like you would be describing Celtic if you were to say that?
Yeah, yes, but it doesn't automatically mean because you can score in the Championship, you're going to go up into the Premier League and you're going to, all of a sudden, you can snatch at the chances playing with a club like Celtic. How many terrific players have we seen coming from the likes of Hibs and the Hearts season to that with good reputation, thinking, give this boy an opportunity, players round about him may be terrific, steps into a club the size of Celtic and can't handle it. Now, I'm not saying that Shanklin is that case, but I just think it's so important this season, especially. I don't think Celtic would take that gamble.
Yeah, I'm just actually, I'm looking behind Gordon here at the big screen, and the teams are coming up for the English Carabao Cup games. And as always, in these English Carabao Cup games, there's 8, there's 9, there's 10 changes in all of these Premiership teams. So you're getting a look at the EPL players who you normally wouldn't get a look at. You look at Brendan Rodgers, Leicester tonight, Kelechi Iheanacho, £25 million from Man City. Can't get near the Leicester team because of Jamie Vardy and others. That, for me, is the type of profile of a player.
Do guys like him want to come and play second fiddle to Odson Eduardo? That, is that sometimes where it becomes a difficult type of signing?
He would be closer to the action than he is in his current position. You know, people would say that. Why would Fraser Forster come up? Why would Moel Younoussi come up and, you know, play second fiddle to Mikey Johnson? Yeah,
but they're not straight in the team.
And Mikey Johnson would fit.
Forster was always going to be number one, wasn't he?
That's the type. It's maybe not going to be Iheanacho. I've just plucked that name out there because I saw his name in the TV. That, for me, is the profile of the kind of guy Celtic would want.
Billy, thank you very much for the call. It was the first one, so make sure you give us a call back sometime. We would love to hear from you. And what about this for a smooth transition? Lawrence Shanklin starts for Dundee United tonight. They play Partick Thistle. I'll quickly give you the teams. Shanklin in there, as always, for United. Segrist in goals. Smith, Reynolds, McMullen, Pollock, Clark, Robson, Butcher, Harks, Shanklin, Dan King. As for Partick Thistle, Roger, which might mean a bit more to our listeners in this part of the world, Scott Fox In goal, Ryan Williamson, James Penrice, Sean McGinty wearing the captain's armband, Joe Cardo, Stuart Bannigan, Kenny Miller, Shea Gordon, Cammy Palmer, Dario Zanata, Stephen Saunders. What type of reaction will Ian... Well, I know what type of reaction Ian McCall will be expecting, Gordon, because it was a disappointing defeat. Can he get a reaction at somewhere like Tannadice?
Yeah, I think that they'll take confidence of going to Inverness, which is a difficult place to go.
And Dundee,
going to
just
Dundee,
up the road,
just up the road, difficult place to go. Yeah, he'll be disappointed with the weekend, obviously, at home. There'll be a decent crowd in there. I'll lift the players. Going back as, you know, he was an ex-manager. He was a manager there. He's now ex-manager. And he'll be going back there. He'll get a bit of stick as well. So that's for an exciting game. Dundee United had a few bad results but bounced back. And I think that'll be a terrific game tonight. And I think it'll be a decent crowd as well. But I just fancy slightly... Dundee United.
Roger, it's a big night in the Championship.
It's a huge night in the Championship, and it's a very closely contested league. There's, we touched on air, you know, the Scott, the United fan phoned earlier on. Air have lost their last couple of games. I think they've lost three out of the last four, and they're still sitting second right on Dundee United's tail. It's that kind of league. So top Dundee United at home to bottom Partick Thistle, and you couldn't rule out Thistle getting something at Tannadice. That's how bizarre this Championship is this season. Really, anyone can beat anyone. Air go to Morton, who beat Inverness at the weekend, so that will be tough. Inverness will be looking to bounce back, but they go to Queen of the South, who beat Dundee United 4-0 in their last home game at Palmerston. So listen, you can take nothing for granted. Don't have a punt in it because you'll lose your money. And then we've got Dick Campbell, who went back to an old club at Thistle at the weekend and get 3 points with Arbroath, getting back to another old club in Dunfermline, and you wouldn't rule out him getting 3 points either.
And what about his wee line at the end? Did you hear it in his post-match on Saturday? He was giving it. I mean, he was saying, Ian McCall, the Partick Thistle fan, they know it's not acceptable to lose to a part-time team like us. I mean, they know fine well that's not acceptable. I like that, Roger. Just that snide, I think, is what they call it.
He's got a wee bit of mischief about him. Like.
It was good entertainment for us anyway. Right, what about tonight's teaser? We're looking for, and by the way, a big thanks to John for sending in the question. It's a really good question tonight. And if you want to hear your question on the show in the future, then you need to send it to fulltime@clyde1.com. So tonight, can you name me six sets of players, one of whom has won the English FA Cup and the other has won the Scottish Cup since 95, and they share a surname? So for instance, Ferguson, the name Ferguson, Duncan won it, the FA Cup with Everton, and Barry won the Scottish Cup with Rangers. That's the only one you've got so far.
I think means he's wrong there.
What about Scott Brown and Wes Brown?
Brilliant. Well done. Scott Brown and Wes Brown. Brilliant. Man United and Celtic.
This is a bit more of a stab.
You also, for what it's worth, just if you want to show off, you could have gone for
Michael Brown,
John Brown or Tom Brown as well for your Scottish one. But there you go. Doesn't matter.
What about, this is a more of a stab in the dark, Mark Hughes and Stephen Hughes?
No.
Gordon, the other one
by the way, they must have played in the final, just for what it's worth.
I was actually thinking down the Celtic line, the Keynes, Roy Keane and Robbie Keane. But
no.
No, I don't think.
What about I'm only saying this because I saw him on the telly in the Chelsea game on Saturday night. Frank Sinclair and Scott Sinclair.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. What an effort that is. Frank and Scott Sinclair. Frank Sinclair won the FA Cup with Chelsea in 97. And as you'll know, Scott Sinclair's won the Scottish Cup three times, and they have to have played in the final. So that's we're halfway there. We've got Brown, Ferguson and Sinclair. We've got James on the line, who's not happy with Aberdeen's performance at the weekend. We're going to speak to James and get the rest of those answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompsons.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Diel are here into the final part of tonight's show, which means they need to get a move on with tonight's teaser. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. That's the address you need to send your questions in. Can you name six sets of players, one of whom has won the English FA Cup and the other who's won the Scottish Cup since 95, who share a surname? So for instance, if you take the name Brown, you've got Wes Brown and Scott Brown. Take the name Ferguson, you've got Duncan Ferguson and Barry Ferguson. And the best of the lot so far, the name Sinclair. Frank Sinclair won the FA Cup with Chelsea, and Scott Sinclair has won the Scottish Cup with Celtic. So you've got three of six. Did you get any during the break, Gordon?
Yeah, no.
Roger?
No.
Smith?
Oh, how about the boy, what do you call him? the boy who scored Wigan's goal, Sean Maloney's corner, Ben Watson. And was Keith Watson in the Dundee United team?
I'm not having that, Roger.
This guy's outrageous, honestly.
Somebody must be telling you then.
Ben Watson at Wigan and Keith Watson at Dundee United. That's an outrageous shout from you, Roger. Well done. Two to go.
I need clues already.
One of these is an absolute
what about
belter.
Glenn Johnson and Tommy Johnson?
No.
No.
Let's speak to James in Burmullock. Hi, James.
Good evening, lads.
Hi, James.
Hello.
I've got I know it's kind of boring. It's a couple of points of Aberdeen on Sunday and also James Tavernier, if you'd like to listen to me. Now, I've been at Pittodrie many a time with Rangers, as you all have probably. But one of the commentators, I watched the first half before I went to Ibrox on Sunday, and they said that Celtic could have turned up with slippers on. Now, I've been up there many a time, and I can assure you, I don't need to assure you, Rangers couldn't turn up there with slippers on. And even Gerrard, Stephen Gerrard last year said, Aberdeen never seemed to lay a glove on Celtic. Now, is this just bad professionalism, bad management? What could it be? I know there's a rivalry with Rangers and Aberdeen, but Sunday was beyond a joke. There wasn't even a tackle.
Well, to be fair, James, did Rangers not beat Aberdeen 5-0 a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Ibrox. They did at Ibrox, right? So, but this has been going on for years and years. As Gerrard said last season, they never lay a glove on Celtic, and they don't seem to do it.
So you're trying to say it's deliberate? Is that what we're getting at?
I'm not saying it's not deliberate.
Well, listen, Stephen Thompson said on the television on Sunday night they lay down to Celtic.
That doesn't mean he's right, though, does it?
No, it doesn't mean he's correct. And I don't agree with him at all. Of course they didn't lie down. Aberdeen have beaten Celtic in recent times. They've pushed them hard. We were touching Tom Rogic earlier on in the show. You know, scored an injury time winner in a cup final. Aberdeen pushed them reasonably hard that day. I think Johnny Hayes might have scored the Aberdeen goal. Johnny Hayes also remember scoring a long-range winner past Fraser Foster in a league game, a midweek game at Pittodrie.
Wasn't much in the League Cup final last season.
Wasn't much in the League Cup final either. I think on Sunday it was the perfect storm. Celtic for 45 minutes were at their peak. Aberdeen for 45 minutes were utterly dreadful.
I do not dispute that fact. Celtic played exceptionally well, I admit that. But when I go up there and two or three times I see whatever it is, yellow cards, red cards, dugout arguments all over the place, arguments everywhere, players getting suspended 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, but incidents that they've covered. There was nothing like that on Sunday. I think there's something far wrong with this Aberdeen club, the whole club. And first and foremost, I'm a Rangers fan, but I'm also a football fan. That was dreadful.
Yeah, for what it's worth, James, I think Derek McInnes would actually agree with that last part, because he felt his players didn't get close enough to Aberdeen to Celtic, Gordon, and I'm sure he would have taken a few more yellow cards or whatever it would have been just to at least show that they were
in
the game.
First and foremost, I don't get this, the Aberdeen would lay down to Celtic. I don't buy that. I really don't.
I never said that.
Right. Secondly, you're talking about dugout arguments and whatever. Derek McKinnon's an ex-Rangers player, first and foremost. So he's not going to give any favours to Celtic because he's concentrating in Aberdeen as well. I just thought that, I keep saying it, every time something happens, it's always opposition against Rangers and Celtic. Give credit where credit's due. Rangers spanked Aberdeen at Ibrox 5-0. Terrific display. I'm not looking at Aberdeen saying, well, Aberdeen never laid a glove in Rangers at Ibrox. Celtic on Sunday were just too good for Aberdeen. And for people to say things like, oh, and we have heard it, that Aberdeen laid down.
James isn't saying that.
No, I'm not saying, but other people didn't lay a glove on them. Couldn't lay a glove on them because they couldn't get near them. They were too good for them. It's as simple as that. And people have got to understand that. So I don't know where James is coming from. What is he saying? That Aberdeen deliberately are walking out that tunnel thinking, do you know what? We're not really going to tackle Celtic today because it's Celtic. Absolute nonsense. Celtic were too good. End of story.
Well, did they challenge them? If an ex-Celtic player turned and said, Celtic could have wore slippers, they never went near them. never went near them. See James Forrest go, great goal. There were seven Aberdeen players in the box, and not one. He ran 5 yards and got the ball, and the seven Aberdeen players were still standing in a line.
But what about the movement and the passing of Celtic? Do you not give them credit?
Yeah, of course I do. So
sometimes you can't.
What have I said? Yeah. Aberdeen were Celtic were exceptional on Sunday. I'm not disputing the fact. I'm not disputing that. I'm talking about Aberdeen as a whole. And the performance on Sunday was deplorable.
Yeah.
Absolutely deplorable.
If that's it, if that's the bottom line of the call, then I think we're all actually in agreement. All of a sudden, I think we've come back round. Derek McInnes said they were awful. Everyone else says the same. James is saying the same.
I think it was a midweek game, the start of December, Aberdeen versus Rangers. Be fascinating to see how Aberdeen perform that night, because if Aberdeen are to lose by 3 or 4 again at home, then they're a bad team.
But can we just also be clear that if Aberdeen do really well that night and run Rangers close, it's proof of absolutely nothing. Along the lines of, this just shows you that they try harder against Rangers than they do against Celtic.
I don't think they lay down. They were just rank rotten on Sunday.
Okay, thank you, James and Bermullock. Good call to end us off, James. Thank you very much. I think we couldn't squeeze another one in, I don't think. But thanks again to James on the line. I'll just bring you up to speed if there's any early goals going in. I don't think so. Not in the Championship. What about maybe the other fixtures that we haven't mentioned for tomorrow? Gordon, I know you'll be at Fir Park. I'll be there in the second half if I drive safely home from the show.
Yep.
Kilmarnock in great form there in third. Motherwell trying to retake that spot. How do you see that one going?
Yeah, I was getting excited at the beginning of the show saying it was Livingston that Saturday, and I'll be going to that as well. So two terrific games for me. I think it'll be a difficult game. Kilmarnock in good form, but I think the Motherwell can take a lot of heart after Sunday's performance at Ibrox. Home advantage, probably change the system. Gordon will go more attacking. There'll be goals in it. I think Motherwell will sneak that one tomorrow night.
Roger, what else jumps out at you from tomorrow's fixture card? It's a cracker, isn't it?
It is. But we tend to focus at the top on Celtic and Rangers. If you look at the bottom, though, it's a huge night for Craig Levein and Hearts and Paul Heckingbottom and Hibernian. They are in the midst of crisis. If Hearts were to lose to bottom place St Johnstone, then Craig Levein is right under the pressure again ahead of a semi-final against Rangers. If Paul Heckingbottom was to lose or fail to win at home to Livingston, having failed to win at home to Ross County, having failed to win a game since the opening day of the season when they were lucky to beat St Mirren at Easter Road, he is really up against it ahead of a Hampden date with Celtic.
That move to Celtic's off, by the way. Iheanacho has just scored for Leicester, so he's straight back into the first team plans this weekend. Roger, your work as a scout is done. Well, over after one day.
Eight more to go and he'll match the ones who played on Friday night.
Can you name the last six sets of players, one of whom has won the English FA Cup, the other has won the Scottish Cup since 95, who share a surname? Guys like Brown, Wes Brown and Scott Brown, Ferguson, Duncan and Barry, Sinclair, Frank and Scott, and the best of the lot so far, Watson, Ben and Keith.
What about Glenn Johnson and Mikey Johnson?
No.
There
are no Johnsons of any spelling in there. The clue I'll give you for one of them is you're definitely going to have to think about it written down rather than spoken. Yeah, I thought that clue would help you.
And that's a clue.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you pronounce it different. Very, very different.
Oh.
But if it was written down, it's the same name.
Oh.
No?
No.
No?
No. I think that's put me further off.
Has it?
I totally understand what he's trying to say, but I have no idea of the answer.
Okay. What if it was a French pronunciation and an English pronunciation of the same name?
Mm-hmm. You're still not helping me, Gordon, I'm afraid.
We need clues, Gordon, big time. Give us the teams.
You'll get it from here. Arsenal
and
Kilmarnock.
Arsenal and the team that was won the cup with Kilmarnock. It's not Ian Wright and Paul Wright. No.
They're pronounced the same, Roger.
Yeah.
What if I told you the guy's first name was Thierry?
Henry.
John Henry and Thierry Henry. And the last one, Man United and St Johnston.
May. Stevie May and Davy May.
Oh, Golden DL, finally. I thought we were never getting a right answer from you. Stevie May and David May. Brilliant. I really liked that question. Fulltime at Clyde1.com if you want to hear your question in the show. Thank you to Gordon and Roger. The biggest thanks, as always, goes to you, because we will never take your listening for granted. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the calls and tweets. We're back tomorrow with a full fixture card. Jim Duffy's here alongside Stevie Smith as well. So stay tuned. Callum Gallagher's up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.